That's great. That was great, wasn't it? How many of you feel great? All right, good. Wow, we're doing great this morning, aren't we? Thank you. How many of you are great? Oh, wow, great. This is fantastic. My sermon has come to life. Finally, the words on, you've been looking at the title of the sermon, you looked ahead and you saw the title, that it was "That's Great," and every time I say "That's great," you're saying "That's great." So how awesome is that? That's great. Thank you. Beautiful. Well, now we sometimes wonder what great is. We know what good is. Better. Best. Where are we in all of that? Great. Awesome. See, there's a problem with good, better, best, isn't there? There's comparison there, isn't there? Right. So one of the things we all have to do as humans is give up on comparing ourselves to others, because we are all great, because God made us great. Right? Awesome. And how do we know this? Well, Jesus told the disciples this. And so we're going to look at that. Sometimes when I look at scripture, there's like a stepping off place. And there's one scripture we're going to step off from this morning. And then we're going to see where it goes from there. We're going to see how much more great and greatness we all can become. Sound good? That's great. All right. So, John 14 in verse 12, Jesus says to the disciples, he's actually at the Last Supper with them. And just a couple of scriptures prior to this, Philip asks Jesus to show him God, show us the Father. And then Jesus says to Philip, haven't you been with me all this time? And haven't you seen the Father in me? Right? So if we see Jesus, we see God, right? Right. And if we see Jesus and we are following Jesus and we are like God, we're also God-like. Right? So there's the connection. You see Jesus, what Jesus is like, and if you don't know what Jesus is like in his character, just read the Gospels. You'll see it right in there, what Jesus is and who Jesus is. Now, if you have Jesus in your heart, what happens to you? You become like Christ, Christ-like. And this is where Jesus is saying to Philip, you've been with me, you've seen everything I've done, you see who I am. If you've seen me, you've seen God. And the flip side of that is, as a result, in the next verse, verse 12, he says, the truth is, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. Right? The same works. So there's a doing in our faith, isn't there? There's doing great things. And he says, in fact, even greater works will you do because I go to the Father, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to enable you to do great works. So as we as Christians define greatness, what is it? Not just being great, but doing great works, doing things that matter to other people. And Jesus did that, didn't he? In his example, we read throughout scripture, he fed 5,000. He was there with the adulterous woman, and he did not condemn her. He forgave her. We see him multiply fish and loaves and make sure people eat. We see him heal the sick, raise the dead. We see him die on the cross to take away all sin so that we could be free. We see him give up his entire life so that we could have eternal life. We see him sacrifice, and we see him unconditionally love all people. Those are the works, just some of them, that Jesus did. So if those are the works that Jesus did, we're going to do what? Even greater works. Wow. Greater. Why is that? I think it's because we're human, and he was more divine than we are, right? He came from heaven. He was God. Fully God, fully human. We as humans, though, we're sometimes God and sometimes human, and sometimes we're more God than human. That's when we're great. Absolutely. Let's turn to the book of Acts. And I want to go here because this is an example we're going to see in how the disciples who were sitting at that Last Supper, then after watching Jesus' death and resurrection and the Holy Spirit comes upon them, we then see the kind of work that they do so that we can begin to see the kinds of work we're all supposed to do. One, obviously, we're supposed to love unconditionally. I heard an absolutely. Very nice back there. That's great. I like hearing that. All right. So let's turn to the book of Acts. We're going to go to Acts chapter 3. Because it's something about a church environment where most of these things are supposed to take place, or at least begin to take place. And then when you see them take place in a church, then you can have them take place where? In the world, outside of these walls, wherever you are. Because remember, you're following Christ, you're becoming like Christ, therefore you're going to do Christ's work, right? Isn't that exciting? Isn't it exciting to know that you're going to do even greater works than Jesus Christ himself? It's exciting. It's enthusiasm coming inside of you, right? Just think about what you can do to change the world and for you to be changed. Does the world not need changing? Oh yeah. I got a hearty amen on that one. Good. Yes, it does. Where does change begin? Oh, within me. Whoop, bro. Wait a minute. God, change them. When they change, I'll change. That's not biblical, so we're not going to go there this morning. So change begins with me because I'm following Christ. You're following Christ. The closer you are, the more you abide, the more connected to God you stay, the more you build and reinforce your relationship with God and follow the way he does things. All you have to do is be a copycat, right? Right? We emulate all kinds of people out there sometimes, right? And we, you know, here it is Halloween and people put masks on and they become like Superwoman or Superman or something. I don't know, Pokemon. I don't know what all these things are, or I don't know, whatever. Sorry. I said that wrong, didn't I? But anyway. And we put that on how long? Just as long as we can get candy, right? Temporarily. But see, when we put on Christ, we become a new person. It's a new nature. It's a permanent change that takes place. And then that change, as we go through change, and we follow Christ more and more, we follow him and be like him, and that we practice that because it becomes a part of our nature. Before you know it, you're doing great and awesome works. I can't wait to see what you're going to do next. So back to the book of Acts. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put out beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at him eagerly, expecting a gift. But Peter said, "I don't have any money for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankle bones were healed and strengthened. He jumped up and stood on his feet and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. So where does the healing take place? In the temple? Outside the temple? On the way into the temple, right? One of the things that we notice about Peter and John is this. They're heading into a prayer service. We have prayer services at this church, right? Sunday mornings, sometimes at night, Tuesday nights, Wednesday night when we're here for Bible study, when the AA group is meeting, That's a prayer service unto itself, to pray that people are changed and freed from alcoholism, right? Prayer services. But do you notice that this man is outside of the temple? He's not inside. And he's been lame from birth. And he's been crippled, mostly spiritually, I would say. And he's learned to beg for money to be able to sustain himself, because that's what he thinks he needs to survive. But Peter and John do something great. They don't just hand the man a temporary fix. They don't just give him some coins and throw it in his basket and give him food for a day. They say, look at me. And there's something about taking on as a minister and as people of Christ, and we saw that Jesus did this as well. We look at somebody and really look them in the face and see what their real need is. When you make eye contact with someone who's hurting, who's lonely, who is stuck in a place where they don't want to be, when you look at them and they look back at you, and then you realize they need something more than just a quick fix. There's plenty of quick fixes in the world, aren't there? All kinds. All kinds of ways that we could temporarily feel better, right? The operative word is temporary. The next day, the next hour, the next week, what? We're back begging. Still needing something. Still lacking something. But what we see Peter and John do is something that nobody else walking into that temple did. They looked at the man and they said, we don't have any money to give you, because we know, I'm adding words to Peter's mouth, we know that money isn't going to solve your problem. And we're not going to leave you there to just throw money at you, which is pretty easy sometimes to solve a problem. You throw a dollar at it, 10 cents, whatever it might be, to think that's going to solve something. We are going to do something greater. We're going to do something that's more lasting and permanent. We're going to help change your life for the better, spiritually and physically. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, here's the thing about Nazareth. Nazareth wasn't exactly a beautiful, awesome place. It was a place where poor people lived. It was a place where outcasts lived. It was a place where nobodies lived. It's a place where Jesus lived. Do you see how Jesus is just like us? Sometimes you feel like a nobody. How do you become a somebody? By following Christ, by seeing someone else in need and giving them what you have. Because, you know, most of us are not theologians. I went to JCU, Jesus Christ University. I think it's a lambskin nonetheless. My ordination. And that's where all of you go, isn't it? Right? You follow Christ. You follow his teachings through the Word of God. But the most important thing that happens when we are following Christ, inside, we always want to look at someone else's plight and change it for the better, don't we? Right? So we see that Peter and John heal this man. He rises up from that place and runs into the temple and joins all the other people there. We don't hear much about this man after the fact, but what do you suppose transpired next after that for the rest of his life? He followed Christ. Do you think he ever begged for money again? Do you think he ever sat outside of the temple watching people go by and enjoying their life and having a relationship with God? Do you think he had to just stay stuck where he was and that was as far as he would ever be? No. What does that tell you about you? Well, it depends on who you are in the story, right? Some of us, because we've been told so, we think we belong outside of the circle of God. We think because maybe we've had issues in the past or whatever the case might be. How many of you have a story of your past that's not very pleasant? How many bad stories can we tell? We've all got them, right? The question is, are we going to live that story for the rest of our lives? Or are we going to live a new story? Are we going to be like the man that's at the outside of the temple begging, waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for change to come? Isn't it interesting how we could throw change at someone? Or we could throw change at someone, right? The name of Jesus Christ in us, right, can touch and heal another person, right? All right. You know what transpires next after this, chapter 4? While Peter and John were speaking to the people, they begin to speak to the people about what transpired. The leading priest, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees came over to them. They were very disturbed that Peter and John were claiming on the authority of Jesus that there was a resurrection of the dead, and that this man had been healed by them and by Jesus. So what sometimes happens as soon as you start to do something great with your life? People notice. What else happens? Sometimes some opposition comes, doesn't it? Doesn't it? So that's when we stop. That's when we say, I can't do anything more. I have to stop here. This, I don't want to make any waves. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, jailed them until morning. Wow. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could be jailed for doing good? No, I don't like that idea. Well, let me ask you a question. If you had to go before the court and someone had to tell all the good that you did and you're going to be convicted of that, how many of you would be able to be convicted at all? You follow me? Would there be any evidence against you for doing good? You see, I don't know about you, but I want to be convicted of doing good, right? I've done enough bad stuff. I could be easily convicted of my sins, right? But what if I could be convicted instead of the good I do? What if we could be measured by all the greatness we do for others? Wouldn't you love to be persecuted for that? Yeah, much better. Because either way, we're probably going to be persecuted, possibly. Anyway, all right. I know you don't like that part, so I'll skip over. But many of the people who heard their message believed it. Oh, wait. See, Peter and John, they were telling about Jesus' greatness and all that Jesus was and Jesus is. And they saw the crippled man healed. And so they believed in God because of it. That's why we tell our story. Not the story of what we were, but the story of who we are, who we have become, right? Someone different, someone greater than what we used to be. We are not our past, right? Okay. Thank God. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, other relatives of the high priest. These are big guys that are going to go after Peter and John. By what power or in whose name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, leaders and elders of our nation, are we being questioned because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Huh? Are we being We're being punished for doing good? What's up with that? Remember the time that they were going to stone Jesus, right? Remember the time he healed on the Sabbath? Remember the time he forgave the adulterous woman? Remember those times? What do we see that Jesus is like? He does the good regardless of what people like or don't like it, doesn't he? So what does that say to you that you're to do? Same thing. Same thing. Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to you and all the people of Israel that he was healed in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. Wow. You know, sometimes when we change and grow, some of us, although we are believers, some of us say, well, God helped me, and I had a great therapist, and I went to classes, and I went to meetings, and I read these books, and I did some investigating online, and that's how I've changed. But what if we were bold, and what if we were courageous, and what if we really said the truth? It's through the power and the name of Jesus Christ that I have been healed, restored, resurrected, and changed. Period. Now, maybe God might have used those things that God invented because God's the great creator of all things, right? But when we profess that, we're showing the truth of who made the change in us. And then hopefully that would mean that other people would want to have that same kind of change. Right? Verse 13. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men who had no special training. Who does that sound like? Us. We're Peter and John's. No special training. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. See, my prayer this morning is this, that when you go out into our world, that we already said that we need change in the world, right? We already said that the change needs to start where? In ourselves. We also said that we know that the only way change can take place is through the name and the power of Jesus Christ. Right? And that the more we exert that power that we have within ourselves, then we can transfer that power to others and help them change too. Isn't that a good way to become great? After the disciples, Peter and John, were let go, they didn't stay in jail, and they wouldn't do anything to them because God wouldn't allow that to happen. The disciples go back to all the other believers. And then they begin to pray. And in verse 30 of Acts 4, it says this to God. Send your healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They already saw something miraculous take place in the healing of the crippled man, right? They also, by telling that story, other people believed in them and believed in Christ. They also knew that they were not going to deny who Christ was, and so they professed it publicly as to who helped him change, and they refused to stop helping others. When they were done, they then prayed for even more miraculous signs and wonders, which connects us back to, remember Jesus said, you will be enabled to do even greater works than I have done? If it was true for the disciples, it's also true for you and me and us. Exactly. So, that's great. That's great. I like this sermon. It was pretty good. It was actually amazing, someone said. But if all we do are hear tremendously phenomenal, awesome, great sermons, and we do not put them to work, what absolute good do they do? Zero, zilch, none. So, remember the crippled man? Remember him? I believe that sometimes in our church service, we have folks that are crippled spiritually speaking. People that are stuck. People that have been doing the same thing over and 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 over, wanting to change, waiting to change, asking to be changed, asking to be changed, and asking to be changed. Without the change occurring. Now, I could ask you to raise your hand, but that would take bravery on your part. And that would mean we'd have to look at you and see you. It would also mean that you would have to come to Christ, where the healer of all things is. We can't solve your problems. You can't solve your problems. But I know one who can. I know that in the power and in the name of Jesus, any person that's hearing this right now, if you look towards God and God looks toward you, and you so desire to be healed and restored spiritually speaking, because I believe all healings happen in the spirit and need to happen in the spirit. Because I could throw some money at you. I won't, but I could. Because will money solve your condition? Temporarily. Because I probably don't have enough money to be able to solve what's going on with you. Right? And see, I know that I serve a God that wants permanent change. Change that's eternal. And when you change internally in a spiritual way, you would be surprised, or maybe not, as to how the outside circumstances may change. If nothing else, you could be like the crippled man who had something happen inside of him that caused him to praise God, to thank God, and to come into the presence of God in that temple. His shame and his guilt kept him outside. Other people shunned him, perhaps. But that is not what's happening here this morning. See, I want to do something great for you. I want to give you the gift of Jesus Christ. I want to say to you, gold and silver have I none, but what I do have, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then, after you're healed, crippled ones, you'll praise God. But I also believe this. I think there is an after story to that crippled man. I believe he left that temple, went and saw some of his friends, and told them a new story so that they too could believe in the power of the name of Jesus. So we have two parts to the end of this sermon. And it is going to end, I promise. Say, that's great. Okay. Part one is for those of you that need a healing, spiritually, emotionally, physically, or otherwise. We see you. We're going to ask you if you're bodily able to walk to the front and come for prayer. That's part one. Part two for you after that would be to go praise God and to tell others of what God has done for you. And be sure to mention the name of Jesus, because that's the one who did it. And then I guess there's a part three after all, for you to then take, because you follow Christ so closely, to take that same power that Peter and John had and look around you at the people that you come into contact with any way, shape, or form. Look at them, see the need that they have, and then offer them what you have. God's love, God's healing, God's forgiveness, and the power in the name of Jesus Christ. If you do that, church, all together we will be great. Those are the great works yet to be done, to help each other and other people be changed, and then in turn to help change others. Let us pray. Most loving God, we feel your presence here this day. We know, God, that wherever two or more are gathered, you are here, right with us. We feel the power of your Holy Spirit. We know the power in the name of Jesus. We know just how wonderful and awesome our God is. And each of us, God, we have a need. We have a need inside of all of us, God, to be healed and restored. Sometimes way deep down inside, God, there's still a part of us that needs to be healed. We stay stuck in that place sometimes, reliving that story, that sorrow, that shame, that guilt. And God, today is the day we want to come out of that place. Step into your presence. No longer be crippled by our past, limp along through life. No longer staying stuck where we are, but moving forward, God, to change and to grow and to become the great people that you've called us all to be. We ask you now that your power of your Holy Spirit would descend upon this place now, God, that each and every person becomes bold enough to ask for your help. And in the name of Jesus, they receive it, God. And after that, Lord, may we each take who you are, wherever we are, God, looking at the people in our lives that need your healing touch. May we truly, intently, proactively reach out to them with your love, your healing power. Enable us, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to change people's lives after you've changed ours. In Jesus' name, amen.